Will the real God please stand up? You know, it seems that religions and gods are a dime a dozen these days. In this world we live in, they're everywhere. An internet search of the term religious, have as many as 2 million websites in our world today. And people are searching. In these uncertain times, people are looking for answers. They're looking for help, for something to believe in. People are seeking. In a time when Scripture is seen by many people in our world as archaic and irregular, and our mainline churches are falling by the wayside, they're declining daily, what can be said of Christianity in our world today? Why would or should anyone choose Christ from among the enormous list of choices that are out there? Is our God the real God? If so, how can we proclaim this God with integrity and faithfulness? We are not the first to ask these questions and to share this struggle. Oh no. In our scripture today, here from the book of Acts, we find Paul in the midst of the Athenians and their many gods and their many idols. Paul is a missionary who has started churches all over Asia Minor. In that first century, he's just running around doing everything. And Paul himself, though, was not always a Christian believer. Originally named Saul, and born and raised a faithful Jew, he was one of Christianity's earliest and most vicious persecutors. And early in his life, it was his passionate goal to wipe out this group of Jesus followers. So we might ask the question, how did he go from persecutor to proclaimer, and why? You see, for Paul, it began with a personal experience with the living God. You see, one day he was traveling along on a journey, and a light from heaven flashed around him, and he heard the voice of God, the voice of Jesus speaking to him. In Acts chapter 9, if we go back to it and go to verse 3, it says, "Now he was going along and approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' And he asked, 'Who are you?' And he also said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And the reply came, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting.'" So here Saul has turned to Paul. So we know this thing has happened. He was temporarily blinded. He had that encounter with God. He was led to Damascus, where he waited for 3 days. Now, there's also another person in this story called Ananias. And Ananias is a wonderful servant of God. He is a frightened but obedient follower. And Jesus tells him, on down here, he says, "Now there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said unto him in a vision, 'Ananias,' and he says, 'Here I am, Lord.' And the Lord said to him, 'Get up and go to the street called Straight. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. And at this moment he is praying, and he has seen a vision. A man named Ananias came in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight.'" But you know something? Ananias is a lot like you and I, because he said, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man called Saul. How much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who invoke your name. But the Lord said unto him, 'Go, for he is an instrument from whom I have chosen to bring my name before the Gentiles and kings before the people of Israel.'" Isn't that the way it is with you and I sometimes? that God calls us to do something, that God calls us out in the midst of who we are, in the midst of our days, in the midst of our nights, to go and to tell something to someone, or to go and to hear someone, or go and see someone, to go and be a part of something. And so many times, we like Ananias, we question, because we remember who Saul was before he became Paul, before he had that conversion experience. We remember the old person. It is hard for us to let go of what we think about or what we know about other people, because we knew them, we know them, we know how they've lived their life, we know the things they have said and done, we know sometimes what they've done to us. And here Saul has been a persecutor. Here Saul has been the ones who has helped to kill, helped to stone, helped to be that one. And all of a sudden, that's the one God chooses. Jesus calls him out to be changed. And here he calls Ananias to go to that place and lay hands upon him, and his name will become Paul. The scales will fall from his eyes and he will be renewed. He'll be awakened. He'll have a new life. He'll have a new vision. You know, we remember the old, and it's hard to let go no matter who we are. Even if we're a disciple named Ananias, even if we're someone sitting in a pew this day, whenever we see someone that we have known our whole life and all of a sudden they're saying they're a Christian and they're running around preaching and teaching, aren't we a little bit hesitant sometimes to think? Aren't we a little hesitant sometimes? Aren't we a little bit judgmental from time to time? But you see, Ananias was frightened, but he obeyed. He had a few questions, but he continued on with what Jesus had called him to do. He remembered that vision. It was so profound that he did get up and he left and he went to that place and he laid his hands upon Saul, and Saul regained his sight and was baptized into the faith. And after a time of learning and studying, the unlikely convert began traveling and proclaiming the gospel to anyone who would listen. Paul was a lot like Peter in the New Testament. He was a bit obnoxious. He was a bit overzealous. He was a bit in your face. If you didn't do it his way, he wouldn't have nothing to do with you for a while and he'd go on to the next one. Paul was in charge, but Paul had changed. Paul had been changed by his encounter with the Lord, and it made him bold. Bolder than he had been before, he was bold in serving. You see, now all of us in our life have not had such a dramatic experience to change us. But however, here before this group today, Paul is standing amongst all these intelligent people, these people of academics, this group of folks here in Athens. They're educated philosophers, and Paul has encountered them. And it is a city that is so diverse with its religions. Athens was a metropolitan area, and this particular group was curious about a new religion. This new religion that Paul was proclaiming, that Paul was talking about. And in order for a new God to take up residence in Athens, Greece, three things were required. First of all, the sponsor must claim to represent a deity, some kind of God. Some kind of God has to represent. The second thing is he must provide evidence that the deity wants to live in that city. And finally, the deity's residence in Athens must be beneficial to the Athenians. In other words, what are we going to get out of it? Is it going to pay us anything? Is it going to profit us anything? You see, these philosophers wanted to know about Paul's God and his intent for their city. You know, we want to know if it's going to be profitable. Who's going to move in? Who's going to be your neighbor? Is it going to be appealing? Is it going to be good for us? Or is it going to be a bad thing? You see, Paul's response, though, is a classic piece of rhetoric. In other words, Paul says to them, first of all, he compliments his hearers when he says, "You are so religious that you even worship unknown gods." Then he lays out a reasoned argument that God, as made known to us through Jesus Christ, is the God that they seek. The God is transcendent. In other words, so a residence in Athens is not necessary. But this God is also immanent, wanting instead to reside in the hearts of all who believe, wanting to literally come into your spirit, to come into your being, to be with you, to dwell with you, to have you there, so that you could be so full of who God has called you to be, that you could be so full like Ananias was, that God woke him up in the middle of the night in a vision and told him to get up and go to a place called Straight, and you'll find him there. So strong, this Jesus, this God wants to be with you, to reside in your heart for all who believe. You see, the Scripture tells us that some people that day scoffed at Paul. Oh my goodness, they made fun of him. They made fun of the situation, everything that was going on, but guess what? There was some there that believed. You know, that's the way it is everywhere we go. Everything we do, you're going to have some people who have a great understanding of it, have a knowledge of it, and say, yeah. Then you're going to have people who make fun of it. That's not the craziest mess I ever heard, most ridiculous. But you're going to have a few who believe. And they're going to believe. And they're going to begin to live their life. And their life is going to change. And people are going to notice. There's going to be something about it. You see, it will be the same with you and I. Those of us who have come to know Christ and wish to share the gospel with others. You see, in some instances, classical arguments such as Paul's may be appropriate. In other cases, more innovative approaches may be needed. But the truth remains. No matter how convincing the argument may be, or how innovative the method may be, committing to Christ is a matter of faith. It's a matter of faith. The real God will not stand up in the way that we would like. Let me say that again. The real God will not stand up in the way that we would like. We are called to trust and believe by faith. The real God will not solve all of our problems or make our lives easy, as many people would wish. People will stand up and say, just all you got to do is believe and come down and everything will be wiped clean. All your problems will go away. God will take care of it all. There is a bit of truth in that, but there's also a bit of untruth in that. God will not take care and solve all your problems. And God will not make your lives as easy as you wish they would be. But instead, the real God promises you and I love and grace and strength for the journey. Love and grace and strength for the journey, so that we will have that in order whenever those times come, when problems arise and we feel like things can't get any worse, that God is there to help us through that journey. You see, this we can claim with integrity and faithfulness. You see, the real God has stood up, and we need to be with Him. Let us pray.